My name is Mike Morgan.
Good morning. Thank you for taking time to study God's Word with us. The title of our message this morning is A Pattern for Preaching. In the mid-1800s, Frederick W. Faber wrote a hymn entitled Faith of Our Fathers. Faith of our fathers, we will strive to win all nations unto thee. And through the truth that comes from God, we all shall then be truly free. These words remind us of Paul's dedication and loyalty to the cause of Christ. On his third missionary journey, Paul established the church in Ephesus. In Acts chapter 20, he is on his way back to Jerusalem with the contribution from the Gentile churches. This gift was not only intended to relieve the sufferings of the needy, but also to help heal the wounds that were developing between Jew and Gentile, and especially Gentile Christians. While in Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church to come to him. These verses are very familiar in many ways, but there are some important principles concerning preacher-elder and preacher-congregation relationships. If faithful gospel preachers could incorporate into their lives the principles that Paul set forth, which characterized his own life, it would solve preacher problems. This morning's expository sermon is designed to help us understand the work of a gospel preacher. Acts chapter 20, beginning in verse 18. And when they had come to him, he said to them, You know from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I might finish the race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of God's grace. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. In verse 18, Paul looked back at his past life. Every preacher needs to realize that if the time comes when he must leave a congregation, his past is important. Paul had stayed at Ephesus longer than he had anywhere else. The elders knew of his work and labors in Asia. They knew Paul's manner of life and could vindicate him against any false report that had been circulated. His manner of life matched his words. Have you ever known a preacher to present a profitable message that was rejected because of their lifestyle? There is no do as I say do, but not as I do in the pulpit. In order for preaching to be effective, the preacher's life must match his message. Only then can subjects be discussed and received. Serving the Lord, this is the work of a preacher. Serving the Lord is his first and primary work. There is an attitude that must go with serving the Lord. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Humility has to do with our thinking. Paul said, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself." Philippians 2, verse 3. There is no place for pride in the heart of a Christian, and that especially goes for a gospel preacher. At one lectureship, a preacher was introduced this way: "Brother so-and-so is an upcoming scholar in the Brotherhood." Now, this young man was very knowledgeable and a sound gospel preacher. But there are two possible pitfalls with that introduction. First, the young preacher's desire to see his name in lights, thinking that he is all that. And second, my becoming envious because I am not invited to speak at lectureships. Next to Jesus, the greatest gospel preacher who ever lived said, "For I am the least of all the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. To me, who am less than the least of all the saints." This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Paul was not puffed up. He did not boast of what he had done or what he could do. Paul was clothed with humility as he shared the saving message of Christ. If I allow pride and envy to dominate my heart, I will be a problem for the church. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears. Have you ever written a letter that was tear-stained? Paul did. The Corinthian letter was stained with his tears. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 4. With many tears, Paul warned the church at Philippi about enemies of the cross. Philippians 3, verse 18. Why the tears? Perhaps due to the persecution from his kinsmen in the flesh, who he loved so dearly. Paul said, "For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my countrymen according to the flesh." The Jews who rejected the gospel became Paul's worst enemies. Paul's tears may have come from those who were perverting the Christian faith. A gospel preacher thinks about spiritual matters all day long. Seeing the condition of the world is bad enough, but seeing the world enter the church is heartbreaking. Paul kept back nothing that was helpful. He did not withhold anything that was advantageous to their spiritual welfare. Everything that pertained to life and godliness had been declared by Paul. "For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God." Here we have balanced preaching. There is a need for all types of sermons. Textual sermons, which usually develop a single verse of Scripture. Topical sermons, which develop a topic or subject that the preacher chooses. Biographical sermons, which examine the life of a biblical character. And expository sermons. Tom Holland, in his book, Encouraging Expository Preaching, said, "In its simplest explanation, expository preaching is putting God's Word on display before an audience. For the purpose of informing the audience, leading to a practical application of God's Word in the lives, choices, decisions, and responses of the audience." Expository sermons, having to study the text and present what the book says, is the most difficult, yet effective and beneficial type of preaching. It is more than just reading a verse and saying a little bit about it. It requires hours of study to understand the context and time to prepare and present properly. There are times when subjects are fine, but dealing only in topical sermons can be a dangerous thing because it can lead one to ignore some things that need to be taught. Whereas when you read a passage of Scripture, you have to deal with the text. In fact, it is much easier to do topical sermons. Just get a concordance and find out where that subject is mentioned and put it together. But it is easy to ignore the context when you're doing that. Tom Holland said, "The appreciation and desire for expository preaching may cause the audience to have less interest in and appreciation for an approach of preaching that would put emphasis on entertainment, storytelling, personal testimonies, and topical sermons. Some may have the idea that sermon preparation is throwing something together on Saturday night and saying what's on your heart. Unfortunately, we have many preachers that get up in the pulpit and say what's on their heart and not what is in the book. Preaching the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth of the gospel is the duty of the preacher. No room for pride, arrogance, or talking down to people. Instead of saying, you need to do this, we all need to be admonished. Along with sermons that strengthen, encourage, and edify, sermons that reprove, rebuke, and correct are sometimes needed. Those who had seen Paul serve the Lord with humility of mind, seen his tears and watched him endure afflictions, listened to whatever sermon he preached and were blessed. Those who would not listen were truly hard-hearted. Paul preached the gospel publicly and from house to house. It is difficult for a preacher to balance his work of preaching and visiting. Both are important. The man who spends all of his time visiting will not have anything to say in the pulpit. The man who spends all of his time in studying and not among others will not know how to present lessons that will comfort and help others in time of need. His lessons will lack that personal touch which comes from personal contact and association. Paul's preaching was without prejudice. The Jews did not want to have anything to do with those outside of the nation of Israel. They persecuted Paul for refusing to be prejudiced towards the Gentiles. Yet Paul testified to Jews and also to Greeks. He was an equal opportunity preacher. It takes a big heart and a lot of understanding to preach to those on the other side of the track. It takes commitment to believe that the man in the gutter has the right to hear and obey the gospel. Where would we be today if Paul allowed the world to influence who he preached to? We live in a world of division and class distinctions which God does not recognize. In God's eyes, there is no difference between the president and a plumber, the banker on Wall Street, and the pygmy in the deepest, darkest part of Africa are both lost in sin and need the saving message of Christ. And it is our responsibility to take that message to them. A preacher must not be influenced by the thinking of the world. Verse 22 says, "And see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there." Notice, Spirit is a little s. Look at the pressures that preachers face. Preaching is stressful work. Many today are quitting because of the stress of preaching. Yet those of us who quit because of stress should be ashamed of ourselves because we have not come close to what Paul endured. Paul did not know what the future held. None of us know what the future holds, especially preachers. In reality, a preacher is one sentence away from being fired. The majority of preachers I know have had to move multiple times for one reason or another. Franklin Camp gives this advice to preachers who have to move. He said, "The only security that a preacher has is God, and that's the best security any man ever had." Franklin said, "Do your work. Do what is right. Preach the gospel in love and godly fear. Live as you ought to live. Serve the Lord. And accept God's promise and commitment to take care of you and your family." Every preacher needs to have this planted deep in their heart. This does not mean that the preacher won't suffer like everybody else, but it does mean that God will take care of him as he faithfully serves the Lord. One of the major problems preachers face is the question of security. Paul did not know what the future held, but he knew the God that he had faith in. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.' So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 expresses the heart of Paul in Acts chapter 20. While an author is not mentioned for the book of Hebrews, I believe it was the Apostle Paul. Paul said, "But none of these things moved me." Here is Paul's persistence. He did not quit. Hardship should not be a reason for preachers quitting preaching. God never promised a bed of roses to Christians or preachers. Gospel preachers in this country have grown up in a society of influence and prosperity. It would do all of us good to spend some time with Jairus Bullard in India. Maybe then we would understand what true hardship is. "Nor do I count my life dear to myself." Paul had given his life to Christ. He was willing to be spent in order to further the cause of Christ. Paul gloried in tribulation. He did not regard his life as valuable in comparison to joyfully completing his career and attaining the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Paul was determined to run the race to the end and preach the gospel to all who would hear him. A preacher must be selfless. It is not about me. The words "me, myself, and I" should never be used in a preacher's conversation or in a sermon. The important question for a preacher is, what am I? Am I doing what I should be doing? Preaching what is needed, and living the way I should? Paul said, "Nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy. Let me come to the end of life's pathway doing what I ought to do." Gus Nichols said he could not think of any better place to die than standing in the pulpit. He wanted to die with his shoes on. Churches would be blessed if faithful gospel preachers had this attitude. Preaching should be our joy, our aim, and our very life. We preach because we can't help it. When Paul came to the end of his life, can you think of anything more joyful than the souls he influenced for eternity? He thought about those who would be in heaven because of his faithful gospel preaching. And it did not end there. People in our generation will go to heaven because of Paul's writings. In fact, every faithful Christian today will inherit eternal life because of the Apostle Paul. Verse 24, "And the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." Paul was a self-righteous Pharisee, but the gospel of God's grace changed it all. At one point, Paul said, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Romans 7, verse 24. The gospel of God's grace is intended for weak, frail, sinful people. No wonder the grace of God was a major theme in Paul's preaching. How we need to understand God's grace, because we cannot make it on our own. If we had to depend on our own works to be saved, we would live in continual fear. The older I get, the more conscious I am of my need of God's grace and mercy. It is unfortunate that we have allowed the denominational world to run us away from the doctrine of the gospel of God's grace. Preachers need to study and preach on God's grace as it should be. And finally, Paul said, "Therefore I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men." A preacher's work is described in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 17 through 21. "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, 'You shall surely die,' and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked ways, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hands. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked ways, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you did not give him warning, he shall die in his sins, and his righteousness which he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hands. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also you will have delivered your soul." The preacher will receive a stricter judgment from God. James chapter 3, verse 1. We not only have to give account for ourselves, but for what we cause others to believe and do through our preaching. As a watchman standing on the wall, Paul warned all men everywhere to forsake sin and live for Jesus. Sometimes lessons have to be presented that break a preacher's heart. But to be free from the blood of all men, Scripture must be quoted in context. Sin cannot be overlooked, whitewashed, or laughed away. In the year 2013 and beyond, preachers must speak where the Bible speaks and remain silent where the Bible is silent. The truth must be spoken in love, but it ought to be said with a broken heart. In many places, this sermon would be unpopular. Not here at the Culpeper Church of Christ. But even if it was, it still needed to be said. I am thankful to serve a congregation that loves the Lord and demands spiritual authority, book, chapter, and verse in context for all that is said and done. I am thankful to serve a group of Christians that do not believe what anybody says on face value, but requires proof from God's Word for belief. And I would ask you to pray that I might serve the Lord, this congregation, and this community as I ought. It is a blessing for us to study God's Word with you.